to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. And so we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in his stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Restore us, O God.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
You brought a vine out of Egypt.
It took the deep root and filled the land.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort, comfort, O my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain hill be made low, and even ground shall become level, and rough places a plain, And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All its beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion. Herald the good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald the good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, "Behold your God." Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and he recompenses before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Lord, you were favorable to your land.
You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people.
You covered all their sin.
You withdrew all your wrath.
You turned from your high anger.
Restore us again, O God of our salvation.
And put away your indignation towards us.
Will you be angry with us forever?
Will you prolong your anger to all generations?
Will you not revive us again?
And your people may rejoice in you.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to follow.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him.
That glory may dwell.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet.
Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground.
And righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good.
And our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him.
And make his footsteps away. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him.
That glory be well in our land.
The reading from the letters is from St. Peter's second letter, the third chapter. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as we count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Hallelujah.
The Holy
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the Gospel reading, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and all were going out to him and were being baptized by him, confessing their sins. This is our text. A good beginning makes a big difference. You know that this is true. If you begin the day by getting up on the wrong side of the bed, missing the alarm, or skipping breakfast, it can ruin the whole day. If you begin solving a math problem the wrong way, you won't get the right answer. And if the beginning of a book or a movie doesn't capture your attention, you'll never make it to the end. So how does the Gospel of Mark begin? Like this. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Matthew begins with the genealogy. Luke begins in the temple. John begins at the very, very beginning, before the creation of everything. But Mark begins with the Old Testament, with an Old Testament promise that the Lord himself will come, and that a voice will prepare his way. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Mark begins with the voice that prepares us for the coming of the Lord. Last Sunday, we heard that Advent includes three comings of the Lord. His first coming in the flesh, his coming now in word and sacrament, and his final coming in glory. Even as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and our Lord's birth, his coming in the flesh, we are also being prepared for him to come again. In the reading from St. Peter's second letter, we heard these words: the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. When Christ comes again in glory, it will be the end of the world. The old creation will pass away, and all that is impure and badly begun will burn. We'll hear that same reading on Wednesday. Wednesdays in Advent, we're hearing the epistle readings from the Sunday before. In Advent, God prepares us for that great and dreadful day of the Lord. He prepares us for everything to burn by sending his messenger, who will prepare the way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The voice cries, prepare the way of the Lord. But how? Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. The voice engineers a royal highway for the Lord, clearing a straight path, filling in the valleys, tearing down the hills, leveling out the uneven ground, and making the rough places smooth. What Isaiah proclaims is a divine construction project, a massive work, a marvel, the preparation for the coming of the Lord. It makes me think of that proposal that was floating around a few years ago for Boston's bid for the Summer Olympics. I don't know if you ever saw that. But the infrastructure that would have been needed, the construction that would have been done to host the Olympics, was massive. It was huge. What Isaiah describes is like that, but even bigger. A construction project preparing the way of the Lord for the Lord himself to come. That's what Isaiah promises. And then John appeared. In the wilderness, you might call John the original prepper, with his camel's hair clothing and his leather belt and his diet of wild locusts and wild honey. But the way that he prepares you for the coming of the Lord and the end of the world isn't by encouraging you to get a stockpile of food and water or of guns and ammo. None of those things will help. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized in the river by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John prepares the world with a call to repentance. People back then and people now need to take heed. We need to pay attention. If we would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this is where we must begin as well. If we would be prepared for his coming now and on the last day, this is how we start. Not with an inventory of our supplies, but with an inventory of ourselves and our sin. And just to be clear, this inventory, this call to repentance, isn't something that we do for Jesus. Repentance isn't necessary for his sake. Jesus doesn't need our repentance. It's not a work we do for him. It's not something that we show him like an assignment that we can hold up in front of our Lord and say, "Look, I've repented." No, we need repentance. It's for our sake, so that we clearly see our desperate need for Jesus. If we don't know our sin, if we aren't sorry for our sin, what good is his forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean to a person who says they have no sin? So we cannot be prepared for Christ without a right understanding of who we are as poor, pitiful sinners. And of what then do we need to repent? Well, I might ask it this way: where are the valleys and the hills in your life? Can you identify the uneven ground that is in yourself? How many rough places do you have? And I venture to guess that the rough places you have, they may not be obvious and evident to most people around you, but the people who are closest to you know them. They've seen them. They've been dragged across those rough places time and again. Certainly, we need to repent of the unchristian ways of thinking and speaking and acting that we too easily and too frequently slip into. The way of Christ is not the same as the way of the world. And yet, we are deeply influenced by the world's ways. How could we not be? We live in the world, and too often we are also of the world. Too often we think like the world's think. Like the world thinks, not about the good of our neighbor or what the neighbor needs or how we could serve them, but about ourselves and our wants and our desires. Too often we speak like the world speaks, gossiping, slandering, cutting others down, telling lies and half-truths to protect ourselves and make ourselves look better than we are. Too often we act like the world acts, watching smut, drinking too much, making innuendos, wasting our time, cutting corners to get ahead. In all these ways and so many more, we show that we fear, love, and trust in other things and in other people instead of in God himself. And you know, I don't need to tell you, we heard it again on the very, very last Sunday of the church year. You know, when the Lord comes again in glory, we must not be found in sin. That is, we must never make peace with our sin. We are poor, pitiful sinners, yes, we say it every single Sunday, but we shouldn't be content with that. We can't simply fall back on saying that we're poor, pitiful sinners as an excuse or a justification for continuing in sin. Hear the voice crying in the wilderness. What does he cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Yes, we are grass that withers, and we are flowers that fade, but we are also those who have been born again by the word of the Lord. Follow the voice of John. He calls the people of Judea and Jerusalem to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. They came, we're told, confessing their sins. Not justifying their sins, not excusing their sins, but confessing their sins. Confessing that they too were withered grass and fading flowers. What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me today? It is a call for us to return to our baptisms. Our baptisms are still good and they are still valid, and the promises that were made at your baptism are not over and done with. The work that your baptism began washing away your sins continues today. Return to it. Claim that baptism for yourself. Claim the water that shines with love and grace. And confess your sins. Don't be afraid to lay them bare before the Lord. Don't be afraid to let those valleys be filled in and those mountains be torn down. This is what John would do. This is what God would do in us today. And in doing this, the way is prepared. In doing this, the Lord makes a straight path. Now our Lord can ride in with all his gifts. Now the Lord can come with all his graces. After me comes one who is mightier than I, says John, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, John prepares the way with a call to repentance, and then he points to the one who comes with forgiveness for sinners. John directs attention to the one who brings a new beginning for those who have so poorly begun. And Jesus follows the path that John makes, the path that John prepares, and he rides right in. Here comes that comfort that Isaiah promised, that comfort, comfort, a double comfort in the forgiveness of sins. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Do you hear what the Lord is promising and giving through Isaiah? A double dose, not of punishment, but of forgiveness. Twice as much as is needed. Piles and piles heaped up. This is what the Lord brings as he comes to us on the royal highway prepared by John. The way of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his way went from the Jordan River where John was baptizing and preaching, and it went to a hill outside Jerusalem. You know what comes next. Our Lord, as he comes to bring a forgiveness that he won by his own death on the cross. He comes to bring a new beginning for you and for me that he accomplished when he rose from the dead. The beginning of a creation that will never end. A creation that is remade by the word of the Lord that lasts forever. To recreate the grass that withers and the flowers that fade and the sinners that are broken. To give you and me a new beginning. And we have that new beginning in Christ. No matter how badly you have begun, no matter how badly you may have begun today, no matter how badly your Advent may have started, you have this new beginning in Christ. A start that is fresh, and it began with what Christ did in his work, in his ministry, his death and resurrection. It was given to you in your baptism. It is picked up again today as we confess our sins, as we hear that absolution, as we taste and see that the Lord is good. And in this way, we are prepared for the end that is still to come. With the Lord, word of the Lord that remains forever, with the word of the Lord that makes us new, we are prepared for the end that is coming, when Christ comes again in glory. St. Peter said that it's all going to burn, and all the works that are done on it will burn, but we know that all that is built on that word of the Lord, all that has been made new by that word of the Lord, you and I, by that word of the Lord, will remain forever. Not our sin, not our sicknesses, not our failings, not our bad starts. Those will all be over and past. But we will live forever with the Lord. This is the promise that we have. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is your beginning in Christ. And this is the new beginning that will be fully unveiled at the end. Repent and believe. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Give your people boldness to confess their faith in the promised Savior. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Especially, we pray that you would look with mercy on Karen Hamill and Andrea Wetmore, who are homebound, Phyllis Hoffman, Alethea Johnson, Gary, George, and Nancy Kengis, Adam Keefe, Audrey Linick, Bud Meyer, Phyllis Morris, Phyllis Moss, Mary Simeone, Jane Smith, all who have the coronavirus, the family and friends of Anya, and any who are sick or hospitalized. Keep in safety all who travel, including Denise Burano. We thank you for the birth of Brooklyn Marie to CJ and Kelsey, and ask that you would keep this family in your care. Protect and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially those in danger of abortion. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling to sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Send your Spirit, we pray, on this bread and wine, that they may also be the body and blood of him who is coming in the clouds, that even now he may come to us and into us with grace and pardon. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for you.
Amen.
Take, drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Depart in peace.
Take, eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take, drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our hearing. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.